I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. A song is a good way to get your head around a complex subject like migration. So here's a song about that before we turn to the news about the chaotic situation in the Mediterranean with migrants, 10,000 rescued at sea just this week. This is the French band Zebda, French Algerians from Toulouse. That song is called J'y suis, j'y reste. Literally, I'm here, I'm staying. And in that one line, you feel the determination these migrants have to risk their lives in search of better ones in Europe. They've landed, and they're not going back to the misery or fear they left behind. Zebda wrote and recorded that song in 2002, so you know this is not a new issue. So let's look at where things stand today in the messy Mediterranean, and we begin with the voices of the migrants themselves.
We were 15 hours at sea. God protected us. We thought we were going to die. We had children on board and were not able to save them.
That's a refugee from Syria speaking with my BBC colleagues. You can hear his mixed emotions, relief and sorrow. Many have been rescued, but hundreds of migrants have died this year trying to cross from North Africa to Europe, Italy mostly. Their overcrowded boats capsize and people drown. The survivors also describe being robbed and beaten by their smugglers along the way. Another refugee from Syria, a man named Tarek, told the BBC he knew it was dangerous, but he was desperate to escape the civil war in his country.
When me, I take the boat, I know 99% I will be died. I know I have 1% I will be safe. There's no solutions. I hear a lot of news, people speak about trafficking people. The trafficking people is my passport. We know he treats us bad, but nobody saves us. It's only him.
So in many cases, it's the war in Syria that's pushing people there to put their fate in the hands of smugglers. But it's not just Syrians streaming across the Mediterranean. Thousands of people from sub-Saharan Africa are also crossing to southern Europe. A volatile mix of desperate migrants who gather on the shores of North Africa, waiting for a chance to get on one of those overcrowded boats. A religious dispute, this week in fact, aboard one of the vessels turned deadly. A fight broke out between Muslim and Christian migrants. 12 people were thrown overboard and are thought to have drowned, all Christians from Nigeria and Ghana. Here's what one of the survivors told the BBC about that incident.
The Muslim was the one that pushed the Christian into the water, and then I fell into the water, the captain and the compass reader, and nobody to drive the boat again. While the Christian was in the middle of the sea, no rescue. We stayed 3 days in the water before we find rescue.
After that rescue, survivors told the authorities in Italy about what happened, and police there arrested 15 of the Muslim passengers on suspicion of murder. Now, that is an extreme case, and again, Italy's witnessed a lot of extreme cases of immigration. It's long been a principal European port of entry for migrants from North Africa. But the number of people risking their lives at sea has increased sharply in recent years. Joel Millman is with the International Organization for Migration in Geneva. I asked him to explain how Italy deals with this constant wave of new arrivals.
Italy does a lot of different things with survivors. You know, sub-Saharans tend to remain in reception centers. I visited one a few days ago. Quite a lot of migrants, particularly those from Syria, move quickly through Italy by land. They don't stay. They often seek to be with their relatives in places further north, usually Scandinavia, Germany, economies that are very much better than southern Europe, so there's a lot more jobs as well. And this is part of the reason Europe and Italy are at odds and how to deal with this problem, because Italy considers it a European-wide problem, and Europe considers Italy not doing its rightful job of stopping these people in the first country that they land in. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. I mean, the longer this goes on, the more people are going to use this cycle and this form, and it's going to frustrate, you know, lawmakers locally and across the continent.
Yeah, so who is right, the Italians or the Europeans who are saying Italy is not doing enough?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, under the Dublin Convention, in countries like Italy that are part of the EU and part of the Schengen border regime.
And that required, just to explain the Schengen border regime, that's an agreement between several countries in Western Europe to allow free passage across their borders, correct?
Right. Okay, they want people who ask for asylum or who come to a new from another continent to register officially in their first country they land in. Now, if it's Italy, and they are fingerprinted and they are registered as officially asylum seekers with all kinds of biometric data taken on each individual, they cannot go to Germany and ask for asylum or Scandinavia because authorities there will say, yes, but you could have had asylum in Italy. In fact, you applied for asylum in Italy, and that's where you have to take your case. Italy has a law that says you can't force people to be fingerprinted against their will. So what happens is the migrants generally wait the authorities out. They find a way to say, no, you can give us a blanket, you can give me a meal, you can give me a cell phone to call my relatives, but I'm not doing this registration with the fingerprinting. And generally they've been very successful either outlasting the authorities, who have so many thousands of people to deal with and just deal with in the first few hours that they're in Italy, or they get into these reception centers, they call them, and they melt away. And the Italians eventually turn to the Europeans and say, they're coming for jobs in the rest of Europe, they're coming to join family in the rest of Europe. Exactly how is it our responsibility only? Mm. And that's where the tension comes from.
You know, last year was a record year for rescues in the Mediterranean by Italy, and we keep hearing this possible dubious achievement this year is going to be even worse. What do you think can be done?
Well, I mean, IOM has consistently said that governments have the means to create space for resettlement. They have things like humanitarian visas and resettlement quotas and temporary protected status. These are all things recognized in international law that governments can do short of opening their borders and letting everybody come. There's certainly the capacity. I mean, we say that Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon have all received so many migrants, refugees. In some cases, like Lebanon, up to a fourth of their internal population is now migrants distressed from Syria. So we think a continent of 500 million people, an economy the size of the EU, certainly can absorb the numbers that have been coming in. I attended a meeting in Budapest with a Turkish refugee official, and the subject of 172,000 rescues by Italy over the last year, he scoffed. He said, we've had that in a single weekend, during the Syrian violence. So clearly, this is not a number that Europe can't not, manage, but politically, there's probably no greater controversy right now in Europe than the destiny of who gets to be a European. So we have the tools. We just haven't really put the will together to make it work.
That was Joel Millman with the International Organization for Migration in Geneva.